Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph. So we got up to the Halakha Mishnah. Hitla le'ata gefen ve'ta delat ve'ta kisus. So somebody covers a sukkah. It covers a, basically he's got a, you know, a trellis in the back, and he covers it with like a grapevine, or he covers it with a gourd vine, or he covers it. We had actually the mission we discussed earlier, he covers it with ivy or some type of climbing vine. And then he covered that with real schach, the sichach agaba, it would still be possible, because anything that's still attached to the ground is considered to be possible for schach. But if he was marve schach, so that now the rove of the schach was kosher schach, and then he mixed them so that at least they were mu'urav, oh sheketatzan, or if he detached them and he just cuts it, so then that would make it kshera even in the first case where the rove was from the non-kosher schach. Zeklal, kosher mekabel tuma. Anything that is either mekabel tuma, even if it is gidulim min ha'aretz, or if it's not gidulim min ha'aretz, and even if it's not mekabel tuma, one way or the other, you would not be allowed to use it for schach. But anything which is not mekabel tuma, and it also is gidulim min ha'aretz, that would be misachachin bo. So it needs to have those two qualities to it. Yosef, Rav Yosef, kamei de Ravuna. So Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and he was saying that the Mishnah, Rav Huna was saying, the Mishnah says that Osha Katzatzan Kishera. And then he said, Omar Rav, Tzarech Lananea. It's true that the Mishnah is saying that it would be kosher, but it's not kosher just to cut them. After you cut them, you'd have to lift them off of the sukkah and let them go back down again. Because since at the time that you cut them, you already had a sukkah that was covered with schach pasul, so by making the schach kosher, it would be ta'aseh velo min ha'asui. The Torah says that ta'aseh, you're supposed to make a sukkah for you, and over here you didn't make the sukkah. Because at the time that you made the sukkah, all of these vines were attached to the ground. And then at the point that you cut them, you didn't put them into a sukkah. And therefore, you'd have to at least lift them out, lift them up, and put them down again. So Rav Huna, who hears Rav Yosef quoting this from Rav, so Amar le Rav Huna, no, Shmuel said that. So Rav Yosef got really disgusted. Oh my God. He turns his face away. He said, well, what's the matter with you? Did I say that Shmuel didn't say it? All I said was that Rav said it. What are you telling me Shmuel said it? Maybe another 100 people said it. I don't know. So, did I ever say Shmuel didn't say that? I said Rav said it. Fine, so Shmuel said it too. I'm very happy. Amar Rav Huna, you don't understand. I'm trying to tell you. Rav did not say that. He doesn't hold to that. It was only Shmuel who said that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So, I said, Shmuel Amra Velo Rav, because actually, I happen to know that Rav was Machshir without picking them up. You didn't have to put them back down again. All you need to do was cut them, and they would be perfectly okay. And I'll tell you how I know, because what happened was, is that Rav Amram Chasida, he was putting these tzitzis on his wife's pajamas, la pajuma d'anche beise. That's the best translation, pajamas. The reason I say it's pajamas is because the mocker of what he was doing was because he held that a beged lila, that there's a din of tzitzis balila as well. That's why I say it's pajamas. So since the tzitzis are chiyav at night, some male women are chayav. So therefore, he had to put tzitzis on her pajamas. So it works out very nice. Okay. So anyway, but what he did was he made a mistake. So he used to do like the tzitzis very fast, which is really cute. So he had one chut, a long chut, then he bent it, and then he bent it back, and then he bent it back again. So now he basically had four chutim, and then he put it through, and then he would cut off the end, and then he would have eight, right? But he made a mistake this time, and he forgot to cut off the bottom. And he made the tzitzis first, And he like, he put in the nuts and everything. And oh my gosh, I forgot to put in the bottom. I cut off the bottom. So when I made it, I had made it without there being the chutim for the tzitzis. And then I made the chutim ex post facto. So it turns out that when I knotted it, I wasn't knotting the separate chutim. So he came to Reb Chiya Bar Ashi to ask him whether it's kosher. What should I do? So Reb Chiya Bar Ashi said to him, Rav said, all you need to do is cut them. Now, you don't have to remake the tzitzis. Mifaskan vehin kasherim. Now, I mean, certainly, the Torah said beferish that ve'osu the tzitzis hakat fevigdeyam. So there's a din of asiyah. And if you're going to tell me that Rav held of ta'aseh means that as you make it has to be kosher, and not that you do something which then ex post facto is now, you're going to claim that that asiyah was this asiyah. You can't do that. Because then when you're making it, you're making it min ha'asui already. Because by the time that you cut the tzitzis, they're already made, and they were made wrong. So obviously Rav holds that that's not a problem. Why? Because when it says to make tzitzit, what is it? Does it say exactly what you need to do to make it? No. So if you cut the strings, at that point, you end up making it into tzitzit. So that's good enough for making it. So what's wrong? So psikatan, zoyasiatan. Obviously, according to Rav, that is enough to do the last steps. I did the last step. So why can't I do the last step for the sukkah also? I have a sukkah all covered with grapevine. And now all I need to do is cut the grapevine from the ground. And now it's kosher sukkah. Beautiful. So therefore, I say that Rav never would have said that you have to lift it up, put it back down again, because it's no different than the tzitzit. So therefore, I'm telling you, Rav Yosef, that Shmuel was the one who said that, but not Rav. Yeah, but wait a minute, says the Gemara. Shmuel doesn't hold other than that either. Shmuel also holds. You're telling me that Shmuel would have said that psikatan is not considered to be asiatan and that he would force you to make the tzitzit over again? But Hatani Shmuel Mishum Rebbe Chiya, Shmuel himself quoted the price of Rebbe Chiya as saying that suppose you did an even better job, suppose you put your tzitzis into two corners at the same time. I mean, if you're already going to go for eight, what the heck? Go for 16. So therefore, you just put it through one hole, take it over to the other hole, leave it out of the other hole, then cut it down in the middle, and then you've got eight strings coming out of each one when you cut the ends of each one, right? So what would be in the event that you forgot to cut it? So suppose you put the tzitzit into two corners one time, and then you cut, which is the same thing that apparently was done before that was asked to Rav. Then you cut the Rosh Hashanah Chutzit. And Shmuel says it's kosher. I mean, I'm assuming that that means that, of course, he must have first tied the knots. In other words, first he made the tzitzit, and then he cut it. Because otherwise, I mean, what's the difference? So, and nonetheless, Shmuel says it's okay. So therefore, Shmuel agrees with Rav. You told me Shmuel says that the sukkah is going to be tasev lo min ha'asui, but over here, the whole proof that you brought that according to Rav, it cannot be tasev lo min ha'asui, which is from the case of tzitzit, Shmuel says exactly the same thing, that it's kosher, all you need to do is cut it afterwards. No, says the Gemara. It doesn't say over here that he made the tzitzit. Maybe all he did was put it through the two holes, cut it, and now he's going to make the proper knots. And that's all that Shmuel was saying. Shmuel was saying, if now he makes the proper knots, it's okay. Sheposek v'charkach kosher. What? So then what's the chiddush? I understand, obviously it's kosher, why not? Suposik v'charkach kosher ma'ilamim. I just said, do I really care how effectively and efficiently you got the various threads of the tzitzis through the beged? You got it through the beged. What's the difference? No, because Shmuel felt that he needs to tell you this is a chiddush. Because ma'al detem, if Shmuel hadn't said that, you might have thought that when the Torah says al kanfei b'gdeyam, so the asu em tzitzit, the asu al tzitzit hakanaf. What does that mean? That al tzitzit hakanaf tells me that at the time that you are actually putting in the tzitzit into the kanaf, that at that point it already has to be kosher for tzitzit. That would be the problem. In which case, even if you went ahead and cut it and then made it, it would be no good. Because being knaf b'sha'at petil, at the time that you thread the actual strings through, that's when it needed to be at that time. One corner at a time, a knaf, And here it's not. Here I'm doing things like at industrial speed. You know, I can't go back and say it's as if I put through eight things in each hole. I didn't. Comes on Shmuel to say there's no such thing. The tzitzis could be done through two corners, three quarters. It doesn't matter. As long as afterwards you cut it and there's now eight strings. But if you had actually made the knots, which was the earlier case, where over there Rav says that that's okay, then Shmuel would have said, no, that's not okay. Because all I'm saying over here is that there's no need for a tas to have one corner at a time. But over there, there's certainly a need to do the act of making the tzitzit. And you didn't make the tzitzit. At the time that you made them, there weren't strings there. Meitei. Ask the Gemara against the Shita of Rav. It says over here, if somebody put in tzitzit, tila'an, and he did not cut the Rosh Echutin, so he did this effectively, but he didn't separate them. So now it's one single string. And then it says it's posel. Now, I mean, when it says it's posel, I'm assuming that means it is permanently posel. The same way Barnea is permanently stuck with holding up that cup. See? So it's a permanent condition. Right you are. That's true. That certainly is b'chayiv a little bit more drinking. Okay. So I'm assuming that what it says is, if that's the way you did it, you have to redo it. And it's possible. Forever, right? And now that shows that Rav is wrong, because Rav said that, no, it doesn't matter. You could just go ahead and cut it then, and it's all right. Says Rav, no. When it says it's possible, it means it is possible until such time as you cut the tzitzit. That's all it's saying. Which, of course, I agree to. The case over there was that he was questioning whether cutting it would be good. And I said, yes, absolutely. Where do you see anything different over here? And Shmuel indeed holds that it's possible permanently. You have to remake those tzitzit. V'chein omar levi, besulin la'olam. Remake the tzitzit, and only that way is it kosher. V'chein omar rav matna omar Shmuel, besulin la'olam. Now, others say that what Rav Natan said was, not stam, I quote Shmuel as saying this to me alone, but what Rav Matna said was, well, I once actually had a problem with my own tzitzit, and b'didi avi uvda, I put like one of these threads that was folded over four times, and I put it through, and then I snipped it, and I came to Mar Shmuel to ask him if the tzitzits were kosher, and he said, no way, they're never kosher, you're going to have to take them out and put them in again. Meitvei. So if you put in the tzitzit first, and only after that you cut the ends of the tzitzit, it says over here that they're posel. Okay? And the ode, here it says it even after you cut it, it's posel. So you can't come around and tell me it only means until you cut it. And there's another brisa that says, beferish bada sukkah. Votaniga besukkah ta'aseh. Velo min ha'asui. So when the Torah says you need to make a sukkah, it means you can't make a sukkah out of something that was already made. Mikan amru, and this is the basis of the psak that says that if somebody took a grapevine or a pumpkin vine or a climbing vine and he put it on top of his sukkah, the sukkah is posel. Now, I ask you, when it says sukkah is posel, okay, what do you think the case is? That you didn't ever cut it? So then why does it say it's possible? Because it has several omenas. You say it's possible because the schach isn't kosher. Typically, the mechuborim, you know, since they're attached to the ground, therefore they're possible. Ela, obviously the Brice is talking about a case where you did cut them. And nonetheless, it says over here that it is possible. So what do you see from that? Shmamina, de lo arminan ketzitza tanzu yasiyatan. So you see clearly from here that you do not believe this halacha that Rav claimed, that you can just cut it afterwards and there's no need to lift it up. I would mean it's a tiyufta to Rav. Omar lecha Rav. Rav tells you, no, wait a second. The case over here is that you had vines that had grown off of a tree, right? And you pulled them loose, but they're still hanging there up against the tree that you pulled them off of. And over there, the asiya didu was lo minkara. So anyways, if you would have cut it with the clippers or something, so then it would have fallen off. But what you did over here is you just pulled it and twisted it a bit so that it's no longer growing properly, but it is not nicker that it's off of the tree completely. So because of that, since it's not clearly done, it's as if it wasn't done in the Rabbanon posseled it. So even though we said that it's because Tase lo mina asui, it means it's mina Rabbanon exera mishum Tase lo mina asui, because it looks like it's still connected. Okay, fine. Fine. So let's go back to the first bright I brought you, okay? How about the case of the tzitzis? It says in the case, what are you going to say about that? It says, talan v'achar kach pasak. That part was problem, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Kasha. That's true. That is a problem with the tzitzit. But as far as the sukkah is concerned, I don't see it's a problem. And the truth is that the question of whether kitzitzatan, zoi asiyatan, is true or not, seems to be a machlokas tanoim, actually, when you look at it, because this is a braita on the Mishnah we have later. The Mishnah that we have later talks about a hadas, and the hadas has berries on it, and it has so many berries that there are more berries than leaves, hadas berries. And as we're going to see later on, the Mishnah says that hadas berries, if they're the rove, they passel the hadas for your lulav. So it says over there, if you go ahead and you take it off, and now you have fewer berries than leaves, then it's kosher. But you're not supposed to do that on Yontif itself. Okay, so then the Braita says like this. Suppose you went ahead and you pulled off the berries on Yontif. What's the halacha of that hadas? Pasu, divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, but the chachamim are machshir. Now, this is a funny kind of machlokas. What are they actually arguing about? So, I mean, the first take that we had was that, look, the point is this. We know that there's a machlokas about whether it is necessary when you're going to use a lulav on sukkah. Do all of the three minim of the lulav have to be attached together at the same time? That's called eged. So does a lulav require eged or does it not? So what we thought was, is that that's not the machlokas. Everybody agrees the lulav does require eged. So if it requires eged, that means that there is an act of asiyah that is associated with the lulav as well as with the sukkah. And that would mean that we would learn out the lulav misukkah. That since it says by sukkah, it uses the lashon of ta'aseh, so the fact that there needs to be an asiyah by the din of the lulav means that by the lulav also, if you did it to the ta'aseh, where it says chagas or go ta'aseh lecha, that means that over here your lulav also has to be ta'aseh lecha, and it would be possible. So therefore the question over here is that is it or is it not possible? So we're talking about undoubtedly a hadas that was already with the lulav, and then you notice that there are too many of these berries, you pick off the berries after having already connected the hadas to the lulav, and then that would be the question, which would mean that what was the machlokas here between the Tanoim? Mamish the machlokas of Rav Shmuel. Because the Rabbanan held, Manda Marshir Sava, Amrinan Gabi Sukkah, Kitzita Tan Zui Asiyata. That just like by the Sukkah, if we cut the vine off of the ground, it's a kosher sukkah. The same thing is true over here, even though at the time that I made the sukkah, it wasn't a kosher sukkah. The same thing is true over here, even though at the time that I put the hadas into the lulav, it was not a kosher hadas. If subsequently I pull off the berries, so I would say, kitzitzatan, zoi asiyatan. Whereas Reb Shimon bar Yehotzadak, he says it's possible. He obviously holds, lo amrin gabi sukkah kitzitzatan zoi asiyatan, and that is exactly the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And since we don't say it by a sukkah, we don't say it by the lulav. So gabi lulav nami lo amrinan l'kitzitzatan zoi asiyatan. What's the problem if you pull it off afterwards? The problem is that at the time that you put it in the lulav, it wasn't kosher, so you can't make it kosher afterwards. So apparently it's mamish machlokas between tanoim. No, not necessarily. You've jumped to some conclusions over here. You assumed that everybody agrees on a number of points. Well, I have alternatives. If we could say that actually kuleyama lo amrinan gabi sukkah, kitzitzatan zui asiyatan. Maybe everybody agrees that we don't say that is there's a way to make it kosher if it was made originally b'psul. And Tasev Alomen also is 100% a psul. Nobody holds like Rav. So what's the question over here? The question is whether you have a right to learn the dinim of the lulav from the dinim of the sukkah. Because, I mean, it doesn't say anywhere make a lulav, does it? So that's the question. So if you have the Rabbanan who say it's kosher if you pull off the berries, they say a sukkah is pasul. But why does that mean that a lulav is pasul? Lo yalfid on lulav misukkah. Man de pasul. Asha Enken, Reb Shimon bar Yotzada calls Yafina Lulav Misukkah, and it's actually exactly the same, and it's not kosher. Or I could tell you another pshat. Maybe the truth is that if indeed everyone agreed that you need to make a lulav, everybody is made that for sure you do not have any way of being makshir the lulav by pulling off the hadas afterwards. But that's good for the machlokas. Indeed, is there a din of the lulav needing asiyah? That's good for the question. So hachabaka miflaget. Mar savar tzorich heged, umar savar ein tzorich heged. The good for the question over here is there a concept of asiyah on a lulav or not? And we know that there actually is a machlokas like that, and therefore it's very reasonable that these Tanayim over here, Reb Shimon bar Yotzadak and the Chachomim, are arguing in the very machlokas that we find in another brisa, the Tanya. Lulav ben agud, ben sha'eno agud kasher. And a lulav is perfectly okay to pick it up, whether it's all together, or whether you first pick up the lulav and you set it down, and then you pick up the adasim and you set them down, then you pick up the arov, and you say, it doesn't matter. It's all kosher. Reb Yehuda says, no. It's only if they're bundled in one bundle. And all good, then it's kosher. But you ain't no all good, it's puzzle. Yeah, how does Reb Yehuda know that? Since it doesn't say anything about Hasiyah, he says, because since it says the Lashon of Lekicha, Lekachtem Lechem, the Pri Eitz Hadar, and so on and so forth, and the Lashon of Lekicha we learn from Agudat Ezov, which was necessary in Mitzrayim, so it says, Lakachtab Lechem Agudat Ezov. And there it says, here it says, Lakachtab Lechem Yom HaRishon. So you should take the Kapot Barim and so on. So Mala Alan Ba Agudah, just like over there it says, Beferish Agudat Ezov. So too, by the Dinam of Suk, it has to be Agudat Lulav Adazanata and Arava. Whereas Rabbanan did not have that, the Kabbalah of Xereshava of Lakicha Lakicha, and since Ein Adam Dan, because of that, they disagreed. They said, we have no reason for us to learn a chiyav of asiyah by a lulav. But wait, what about this price? This price doesn't work out according to anybody. Here it says, lulav is a mitzvah, lo'ogdo. But if you didn't put it together in one bundle, it's perfectly kosher. Who's this going according to? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not kosher. So ki lo agdo amai kasher. According to Rabbanan, who do not have any basis at all to compare the asiyah of a lulav to the sukkah, what's the mitzvah? Why in the world should I bother putting it all into one bundle? Truth is, liolam Rabbanani, mishum shenemar ze keli ve'anveyo hitna elifanav ha-mitzvot. Since it says in the Torah that whatever I do, all of the mitzvahs that I do, I'll make them beautiful, therefore, since it's much prettier to have a lulav that is made all together, surrounded by the lulavim and the hadasim, so because of that, we want to do it as a mitzvah. But certainly, Zekei Levan Vehu is not ma'akev. Then the Mishnah says, Zekla, kol davar shemekabel tuma is posel. It has to be not mekabel tuma, and it has to be gidulei kark. So how do we know that? Amar Reish Lakish. Look, the Torah says that a cloud, and the original place where we find the inyan of a cloud, and remember that the sukkahs are anane kovet, and remember that the whole purpose of the sukkah is to pray for the gishomim, and remember that the introduction to prayer for the gishomim is from the pasuk of the Eid Yaleh Min HaOretz, and Adam Ayin Lave Es Adama. So that primal aid is a dover that's not mekabel tuma, and it comes from the earth. It says aid yalim min haaretz. So therefore, the sukkah, which is essentially a cloud, because it's Hashem, the anane kavod, have to be a dover sheinu mekabel tuma, v'gidulo min haaretz. Now, in second, not everybody agrees that sukkahs are clouds. So, it's true. According to the Man Yomar, who says that when it says, Kibbe Sukkot Oshavti et Bnei Yisrael, it's a reference to Anane HaKoved, then that's a very good raya, because you're showing me that an aid, the mocker of an aid, is from the ground. But what if you're just saying that Sukkot just means everybody built a sukkah? So, the Man Yomar Sukkot Mamasha Suleh. So what in the world does that have anything to do with clouds? I bring Mariah from a cloud. I mean, maybe they made the sukkahs in the Midbar with toaster ovens on top. I don't know. I mean, doesn't say anything about clouds. So that would be a dover shein gedulei min haaretz, and would be mekabel tuma. Well, maybe not a toaster oven, because maybe since it needs to be mechubel karka, to plug it in. All right, fine. So they used spits. All right, maybe. The Tanya, we know there is such a machlokas. I mean, it does say Kibbe Sukkot Oshavti et Bnei Yisrael. So the Tanya, the Rebbe Eliezer says, what are these Sukkot? They were Anane Kavod. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no. Kibbe Sukkot Oshavti means that I had them build Sukkot for themselves. And they were real Sukkot. So Anichal Rebbe Eliezer, I understand. According to Rebbe Eliezer, who says that it all comes back to the Anane HaKavod, I can learn it out of the Eid Yalim and Oretz. But according to Rabbi Akiva, I mean, how do you know? Maybe they used things that were tummy. So how do you know that the sukkahs have to be from something that is tar? He quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that since it says in the pasuk, Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh Lecha, it's comparing the sukkah to the korban chagiga, which teaches you, just like a chagiga is a dover sheinu mekabel tuma, no animal is mekabel tuma, and an animal is considered to be gidulei min haaretz, it's considered to grow off of the planet's surface. That's called Gidulim in Aretz. Av Sukkah, Davashin Mekabel Tuma, V'Gidulim in Aretz. And that's really where we learn it from. That's ridiculous, says the Gemara. If you can learn it from there, so then that means you could use living things. And if you can learn it from Chagiga, maybe it means you have to use living things. I mean, the way Rabbi Yochanan was learning it, they were going to consider an animal could be Gidule Karka. So then, if that would be the case, I'd be able to use animal hides as a sukkah roof, right? And I mean, that's great because I am nice. I can have a nice waterproof sukkah roof and sit under it. But if you're going to tell me that it's kosher from chagiga, maybe it has to be an animal, a living animal. So maybe make it from balei chayim, which we never find such a thing. So therefore, there's something wrong with saying that it's a real comparison to the dinim of chagiga. So Kiyata Ravin said, that's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. What Rabbi Yochanan said is that we learn it out from the pasuk that says, B'chag HaSukkot ta'aseh lecha shiv'at yamim ba'os pecha migornecha umiyikvecha. When you gather things from your threshing floor and from the wine vat. So it must be talking about psolet goren v'yekev ha'katuv medaber. So if it's talking about the things that were left on the threshing floor, or that were left in the wine vat, which is the pieces of wood that the grapes were attached to, and so on, the cluster itself, that is what you can use. Now, those things are obviously, if it's talking about the straw that was left on the threshing floor, or it's talking about pieces of grapevine, those things are not mekabel tuma, and they are definitely gedulei karka. I mean, how do you know it means something taken? Something left over. I mean, maybe it means using the actual things in the goren. Maybe it means using the actual food, you know, the wheat, the barley. I don't know. I mean, that's mekabel tuma. So how do you know you can't use the food stuff itself? And maybe you can take the stuff from the wine vat. Wine vat, says Rabbi, I understand. A yekev is a vat. Okay. A vat is not talking about grapes. A vat is talking about the wine that flowed in from the grapes. I'd like to see you cover your sukkah with wine. I mean, boy, that'd be quite a trick. So, I mean, in the same way that the yekev is talking about Obviously, he's got to be talking about not a liquid, but the things that were left in the yekev after you remove the vine. So you've got these pieces that are in there. But so the same thing is true about the goren. There's no way that you could make a cover to your sukkah from wine. Matke flora b'yirmiya, sure you could. What are you talking about? I know how to use wine as the top of a sukkah. You know what it is? It's referring to the Yayin Karush, Habami Sneer. We just had in this week's Parsha Sneer, right? So this is the wine that they use, and that is concentrated wine that actually is congealed, and that looks like Dome Le'igulei Dveila. You buy that in the store, and it looks like these big cakes, and it's completely gelled. So you just put it on top of your sukkah. What's wrong? That's great. So how do you know it doesn't mean that? Shoot, Rebbe's here. I thought we had this down pat. Now, darn it, comes on Rebbe Yirmiya and throws a hatchet into it. Oh, chutzpah. It made so much sense the way I explained it. Amil Tahavi Biyadam, just when we thought it was safe to walk outside, comes along Rebbe Yirmiya and he throws a hatchet into it. Shadabe Narga. Ravashi says, look, don't trouble yourselves. It's really very simple. It says, Mi Gornecha. Right? Mi Yikvecha. It doesn't say the Goren. It says things that were left in the Goren, things that were left in the Yekev. So that means Mi Yikvecha, Velog Yekev Atzmo, Mi Gornecha, Velog Goren Atzmo. So it's talking about Psolet Goren Vi Yekev. Rav Chisda says, look, it's really very clear if you see that the way that it's used in Tanakh, it's obvious that that's what it means. Because it says to Uahar, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, they're making their sukkahs, their first sukkahs. So it says over there where Ezra and Nehemiah were telling people what to do. So Nehemiah tells them, go out to the mountains and collect Ale Zayit, Viale Shemen, Viale Hadas, Viale Tamarim, Viale Tzavon. Obviously, over here is telling them to collect these branches. So these are branches of trees. They're not actual food. So you see clearly that that's what we make our sukkah out of. By the way, isn't a hadas the Eitz Avot? I thought that that's why we say the Eitz Avot must be hadas, because it's supposed to be this braided kind of myrtle, right? And that's why it's hadas, because hadas is covered with the leaves like a braid. So why does the Navi, or Ksuvim, list hadas and Eitz Avot as if they're two different things? Rav Chisda, hadas is referring to the sukkah, and that's hadas shoteh. That's a type of hadas that doesn't cover the branches completely, and you don't have three leaves at each node, so that's not totally covered. That's not kosher for a lulav, but that's kosher for a sukkah. And then if you've got eitz avot, that's the other kind. That's the real hadas that we use for the lulav. That was for the lulav. And when it said at the end of the pasuk, it said over there, l'sukkah, it meant le mitzvot sukkah. It didn't mean to bring them to build the sukkah booth. So some of it was brought for the sukkah, to actually put on the top as the schach, and some of it was brought as the mitzvahs of sukkah, which is for the lulav. Okay, gentlemen, that was rather painless, lots of fun, and it sets us up just in time for tomorrow morning, same regular time, Bezrat Hashem. We'll see you.
I just want to tell a 1 second story that there are a few people that remember. So we were going crazy getting kosher arba minah from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And there was an psul that all the rabbanim said they never saw it before. And our rabbanim said, Rabbi, what would you send somebody in San Jose? So anyway, right? It was a lulav that went up and then broke through the tiyomet. But we couldn't find a dasim until Iblitz went to a flower store for $2.17, I think was the price. Bought a bunch of myrrh.
Kosher myrrh, I remember. I remember, had we brought it from the East Coast, it would have cost us that much for each branch, you know, plus the airfare. Yeah, it was great.